Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Timotheus.
Yes, sir.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Look at this morning. I mean, look at this weather out here. it looks like it could stay that way forever.
For the second day of November, not too shabby, huh?
Well, I think it's really great. I looked at the grass this morning as I came out to put my stuff in the car.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to cut it again. Sure as the world, I'm going to have to cut the grass again.
Hmm.
So, but that's okay because I sat right there on the porch and watched the beloved get out there with the mower and start cutting. Yeah, that ain't going to happen. You know that's not going to happen after.
Well, be careful what you say.
After 46 years of marriage, that ain't going to happen. Let me tell you.
So does that mean that it depends on you to get it done?
You got it, brother.
Oh,
you got
okay.
It. You're looking at the
mower. But now, if the floor needs a mopping, needs a cooking,
she's right there.
Yeah, she's a sweet lady.
Or we hire it done, or I take her out to supper. One of the two.
You just open an invitation.
Look out. We better get off that and move on now. We're going to get in trouble like David Bowling does sometimes.
Yeah, he does that occasionally.
I do it a lot. Yeah. Well, I would stay that way.
Out there has maybe a question, a comment they'd like to send us, you can call us up at 789-0318, 789-0318. You can also email a question or a comment to us. We'd love to hear from you that way as well.
Sure.
At godspointofview@yahoo.com.
Yes.
godspointofview@yahoo.com.
Well, so much in the news here lately that just disgusts us. Just absolutely disgusts us.
Yeah. You know, here they got this guy that runs people down.
Right.
In New York. And
right.
We're having to make sure that he's getting better because he was shot by a police officer.
Right.
Wants to hang an ISIS flag in his room, evidently. That's just what the news is reporting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Proud of what he done. Would like to do more.
Yeah.
What are we coming to?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I'm sure the president, I think he tweeted out that he'd like to see the death penalty. So I'm sure you got some people speaking out against that. The world has gone crazy.
The world is exactly playing out what the prophet said in the long ago.
Yeah.
There will be a time, Isaiah said, in which the world, men, humanity will call light for dark.
Mm-hmm.
Evil for good.
Yep.
Everything's just turned upside down.
Yes.
I preached a sermon some time ago on that very subject. A New Year's message, I believe, on looking to Jesus on the Sunday morning broadcast we had for 33 years on the air. And I talked about, what do you do when everything is upside down?
Yeah.
And it seems to be that way. It seems to be going further that way. This individual, and Timotheus, this can happen anywhere in our country,
mm-hmm.
anywhere in our land. This could happen. This fella has been here on a lottery, a visa kind of immigration program, which I didn't know it even existed. Did you know it existed?
I had briefly heard something about it, but I didn't understand it and still don't know that I understand fully.
Anytime I hear the word lottery,
yeah,
there's got to be evil associated with it.
It's like a German shepherd peeking his ears up.
There you go. There you go.
Get your attention.
I'm glad
it?
You compared me to a German shepherd and not a beagle or something like that.
It could have been a hound dog.
No offense to hound dogs or beagles. My son-in-law would be mad at me if I said anything against beagles.
I understand.
Anyway, it can happen anywhere. And this guy, if I understand it correctly, I wouldn't even begin to pronounce his name.
No.
Don't know that we should anyway. He's a terrorist. He's a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a killer.
Yep.
He'd been planning this for a couple of years, as best we can tell from what we've learned in the news. He was interrogated in 2015 by our FBI folks, and not that he had done anything wrong at that time, but he was possibly associating with someone who they had an eye on.
They must have had a suspect.
They must have had.
And suspicion,
I think that they have arrested him now.
Yeah. I think so.
The suspect.
Yeah.
They found all kinds of incriminating evidence on his phone, pictures, all kinds of disgusting things that has to do with radical Islam. It gets worse and worse and worse. One of the things that makes this so difficult is because there's so many of us right here in our own land that wants to continue to give folks like that, folks mm-hmm. who do not hold to our values, folks who do not assimilate, folks who have no intention of becoming Americans, they want to continue all these programs and let these things continue to happen. Now, I'm not suggesting they want people to be killed, but they are so liberal in their philosophy of life. Actually, Timotheus mm-hmm. and listeners, it's godless philosophy,
yeah.
A godless philosophy.
Yeah.
So maybe you would have something you'd like to offer our listening audience this morning on that subject or any other subject. If you have a Bible question or a Bible comment, please feel free to call. They could do that by picking up a rotary device, a cellular device.
I'm chuckling because you said rotary. Most people probably listening don't know what a rotary device is anymore.
Oh, they were handy.
They were handy. Had to turn that circle around there.
Sure, and if you got on first, then you didn't have to worry about the other folks on your party line. Remember
true.
That?
789-0318, 789-0318, godspointofview@yahoo.com for emails. How interesting is it as a Christian, and I'll ask you this question.
Ask me, brother.
With what you see with this event that we've been talking about, and you mourn for the sin and the evil that is going on, but there's part of us that kind of rejoice and be reassured because of what the prophets say in the Bible, that these things will take place. So we see prophecy being fulfilled.
Prophecy being fulfilled.
Which gives us more confidence, should grow our faith more. But at the same time, you're mourning it. That's a strange way of...
There's a tension there.
Yeah.
The Christian life is a life of tension. We don't want these bad things to happen.
No.
But when they happen, we're not surprised that they're happening.
Yeah.
Because they are fulfilling the scriptures. Listen, folks, you're going to be serving one God or another. And if you take the position, as one fellow said to me one time, I'm just not going to serve either. You have by default decided to serve the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
The God of this world, the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the eyes or the minds of them that believe not,
mm-hmm.
lest the glorious gospel of Christ, the good news, the evangelion, the good news of the gospel should be preached unto us. The good news is man is a sinner.
Yeah.
All of it. The bad news is man's a sinner. Man is doomed. Man is on his way to hell. Man has no hope. Now the good news. Now that's a pretty dark picture.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see it this morning, but I was listening to a program, and the program was talking about a 163.4 whatever diamond. It was a 143-carat diamond.
Wow.
And I bet you, because I know jewelers, I know how they think.
Yeah.
I bet you, when you see that, if you see that on television, it'll be sitting in front of a black backdrop or navy blue.
Yeah, real dark.
Real dark.
Yeah, with that lighting hitting it just in a certain way.
This is exactly the gospel message. The world is doomed. The world is on its way out. Now, a lot of folks don't want to hear that. They want to talk about it. They get mad at you, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
You can't deny that the world is going on a downward spiral.
Yeah.
Anybody, you don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to read the Bible to know that something is wrong.
Yeah.
And so the brilliance of the gospel shines when you put it in front of the blackness, the darkness of the world's situation. Mm-hmm. And so we're told in Scripture, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Pause a minute. When he says love not the world, he's not talking about the beautiful sunshine this morning.
Yeah, the Lord made that.
Yeah, we can enjoy that. We can enjoy the greenery. We can enjoy... I'm even enjoying this gravel that the city's put in this big hole out here.
On Main Street.
I hope they got that foundation taken care of.
I hope so, too.
You see, if your foundation is not what it ought to be, you're going to sink.
Yeah, like quicksand.
Like quicksand.
Yeah.
That's true of this hole on the street. That's true of your house foundation. It's true of your life.
Yeah.
If the foundation, you're either serving God or you're serving Satan. It's not really difficult to tell. All you got to do, you ready for this, Timotheus?
I'm ready.
All you got to do is look at the fruit.
Yeah.
The fruit of the Spirit is love.
Peace.
Joy. Peace. Gentleness. Meekness. Faith. Temperance. Godliness. Those things are of the Spirit of God. Now, he preceded that by telling us about the sins of the flesh.
Yeah.
Sins of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, strife, sedition. There's 19 of those things there. 19. I don't have any trouble recognizing those. As a matter of fact, I've participated in some of those in my lifetime as a sinner man. I've done business with the devil. I know his tactics. I know how he works.
Yeah.
All of those things, every one of those things that I just mentioned, that are sins of the flesh, are against the law. Mm-hmm. You just don't do those things and get away with it.
Yeah.
But the fruit of the Spirit, he says, he concludes that next verse, against such there is no law. There's no law against loving people.
Yeah.
Listen, whether it's the home, whether it's the church, whether it's a business, whether it's a political environment, if people are thinking correctly about treating their fellow man as they want to be treated and all those kinds of things that the Bible teaches, there's going to be a harmonious environment there.
Yeah.
When there's not love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness. When a person says, I'm a Christian, mm-hmm. but they do not manifest those fruits of the Spirit, they're either lying through their teeth or they're demonic, one of the two. By the way, Timotheus.
That's pretty harsh talking there, brother.
But I believe it to be true. A lot of people will say, well, there are people who talk I got this on my mind, Timotheus, because we've just come through Halloween.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I expected to come in here and everything would be all decorated with cobwebs and skeletons and all those kinds of things.
No.
But a lot of people will say that we can talk to the dead, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I even remember a fellow one time hearkening back to Saul. When Saul, his world was collapsing, and he went to the witch and asked her to bring up Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
And some guy appeared in a dark cloak, and people say, see, there you can talk with the dead. So Samuel had been dead. In the first place, the premise is incorrect. Nobody recognized that. Saul didn't recognize him. They saw a figure of a person. The witch didn't say it was Samuel. She was as shocked that someone came up from beyond as Saul was. What I believe that was a demon.
That could have been.
When the devil was cast out of heaven, a third of the heavenly host was cast out with him. Now, some angels have been cast down to hell to be reserved in chains of darkness. That's 2 Peter chapter 2. But the rest of them are roaming the earth. They're demons.
Yeah.
And
deceiving people.
They are. Yeah. They are. Absolutely deceiving people. That's one of the reasons, I've just got to get this in, that's one of the reasons that I don't like Halloween anymore.
Yeah.
Used to, I didn't understand the depth of it, but We do that trunk or treat at Highland where kids come. You know, they dress up as Bible characters or as just cartoon characters.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween has been used to. Halloween was a wonderful time for us kids. It's become dark in recent years.
Yeah.
Everything's about killing and slashing and blood and all
that. Yeah, the gorier the better.
Gorier the better, and I think that's a mistake. I think that's wrong.
You mentioned while you're looking for that. You mentioned earlier about a guy told you one time that he just wasn't going to serve any God, so he's put in a position.
Yeah,
that's almost kind of like saying, "Well, I'm not gonna get up out of the bed today. So today, I'm just not gonna do it. I'm just gonna stay in the bed. Doesn't mean the sun ain't gonna come up.
That's exactly right.
The day's gonna come on.
Yeah,
you can make a decision to get up and be a part of it or not.
It's our choice.
But if you don't, you know, that's your choice.
It's our choice.
The day's still gonna happen.
If we choose to try to be the very best that we can be in life, try to make a difference, try to influence the culture in which we live. One of the things that this program was designed and is designed to do is to influence the culture.
Yeah.
People listening to the radio right now, we're trying to influence you. We will tell you that we do have an agenda.
Yeah.
And that agenda is to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, take modern day events, take the world in which we live, 21st century, and apply Christianity to that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about anything you want to talk about. And apply a biblical scripture to that, a biblical way of thinking, because the Bible talks about any number of subjects. And we're doing that in order to help you see the truth.
How much of an issue is today, you think, that Christians go to church, they hear the message, but the application is never made?
Most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, if you really stop and think, you go and... We just really, and you've said this a couple of sermons for the last little bit.
Yeah.
I've been paying attention, by the way. We just don't get it. And you said that again last night. We can go hear a good sermon in the way I'm thinking, and then we go out to lunch after church.
Yeah.
And we left the message at the church house.
Yeah.
We didn't apply it or make the application. The Bible was written thousands of years ago, but it's still very applicable today.
And this is why, absolutely, amen to all of that, and this is why... communicators, preachers, pastors, individuals who are charged with the responsibility of communicating the Word of God. It may look simple. It may look like we only work one day a week. Let me tell you something. When someone makes that kind of a comment about preachers, it tells me that they have no clue what's going on. They have no clue what they're talking about.
Yeah.
It's best to just smile when people say that and walk away. Or you'll give them a Bible study lesson, and it might not be what you want it to be. People accuse Jesus of all kinds of things that he was never, never, ever guilty of. But a communicator is a person. A preacher is trying to communicate a message.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, and this is not to justify everything. Or to give my stamp of approval to the ministry of Robert Schuller that was on TV a number of years ago, the Crystal Cathedral. But he had some good ideas. Everybody's got something that's good about what they're living out or trying to do. And I appreciated the efforts that he made. But his mother, he told one day, told him, she said, "Robert, remember, few people are going to remember your opening comments in your message. Even fewer people will remember those in the middle."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she said, "Leave the people at the end of the message with a glorious ending."
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm going to run a little test someday.
Uh-oh.
I'm not going to tell anybody, or maybe I'm telling everybody right now. And after the message is over and you leave, I'm going to give you a quiz. What was the sermon about this morning?
Mm.
What did we talk about? What was the last thing I said? You see, preachers want the folks to remember the last point, which should bring the whole lesson together.
Yeah.
I usually have 3 points.
Yeah.
And I try to close with an illustration that will apply those 3 points. And we want people to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
When they leave the assembly, we want them to remember. We don't need more sermons after the sermon is over.
Yeah.
We don't need more devotionals, because that muddies the water. How many times have you seen in a church service You preachers listening are saying amen right now. I know you are. You've preached your heart out, and you want folks to take that particular line of thinking away with them, but some good brother decides that he wants to speak for 15 more minutes or 10 more minutes and change the complete idea of what the folks have said for 40 minutes and listened to.
Yeah.
That negates or aborts everything. So I try to leave people with that. And your question is very pertinent. Because most Christians don't think much about what they've heard because there's too many other voices coming.
Yeah.
Whether it's someone else in the church or whether it's they turn the radio on as soon as they get in the car. They listen to their music. They go eat lunch. They don't think.
Yeah.
Let me share this with you. This will illustrate your point, I believe, perfectly.
Hmm.
And I used this last week. You didn't think your point could be illustrated.
Well, I mean, I'm just stunned that that I brought up a point, and you've got some papers here that
documentation.
There you go.
Billy Graham.
Oh,
and he's a pretty good guy to quote, right?
Hey, I'm with that.
Billy Graham in his book A World Aflame said this: in a declining culture, one of its characteristics is that ordinary people are unaware of what is happening. Now, when he talks about ordinary people, he's not defaming anybody or talking down to anybody. He's talking about people who aren't preachers, aren't pastors, aren't church leaders. They come to church. They want to live.
Churchgoers.
Yeah. Pew sitters.
Pew occupiers.
Yeah. He says ordinary people are unaware of what is happening. Modern man has become a spectator of world events, observing on his television screen without becoming involved.
Yeah. There you go.
He watches the ominous events while he sips his beer in a comfortable chair.
Hmm.
He does not understand that his world is on fire and that he is about to be burned with it.
Wow. Wow.
You know when that statement was made, Timotheus? 1965.
That's right up there with the Paul Harvey, If I Were the Devil.
Sure it is.
Right about the same time.
That was a great piece, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. And so, that's right, the Billy Graham there. Oh, yeah.
So this is why we encourage people to be involved with the local church.
And in 1965, we didn't know of ISIS.
No.
We didn't know of the marriage issues or transgender things and those
nobody
type of
ever
things.
Heard. In 1965, no. The American Psychiatric Association defined homosexuality as a mental disorder.
Yeah. But now we've evolved.
We have evolved.
Or some people think they have.
Yeah, we've changed everything. By the way, getting back to, we just bounced from one thing to the other here, folks. Back to the thing we talked about first and foremost was the terrorist shouting Allahu Akbar and killing eight people. Now, five of those guys were here to celebrate their 30th anniversary of their graduation.
They were from Argentina.
Argentina.
Yeah.
What a shame. There were, I think, eight of them, and five of them were killed.
Yeah.
It's just so sad. It breaks my heart. But this guy had lived among us. He no doubt had lied to people about who he was and what his intentions were. By the way, Timotheus, now see, I'm taking a detour here.
Yeah. It's okay. I'm with you.
The Quran allows the jihadi to lie.
Yeah. Now, is that something you've been told?
I read it.
Oh, and where'd you read it?
Yeah. That's like what the old fellow that was deaf, you know, some of his friends after he came into the church, they joking him and kidding him, you know, we have brotherly love and all that, you know. So they said, they wrote on a piece of paper since he couldn't hear, says, faith comes by hearing.
Uh-oh.
Hearing by the word of God. How did you get converted?
Yeah.
He smiled. He took that pen, that paper. He said, these things are written that you might believe. And then he said, I read it. So,
I love it.
So I do too. So the website, you might, the listening audience might consider a website, thereligionofpeace.com.
Thereligionofpeace.com.
That's correct. But is there an echo in here?
And,
thereligionofpeace.com.
Yeah, and Islam is the religion of peace, isn't it?
That's what they say.
They say. Okay.
So in their religionofpeace.com, you can read about deception and lying and taqwiya. I can't say it properly. I just tried. I messed it up. T-A-Q, I-Y-Y-A. And what that word means, the meaning of it is Muslims, radical Muslims who want to kill you. We're not lumping all Muslims in this. We're talking about radical Muslims.
Yeah.
But if you are a Muslim and you believe the Quran from front to cover, then, and you accept this, then you're giving credence to it. This gives them the right to lie. For instance, in the Quran, chapter 16, verse 106, establishes that there are circumstances that can compel a Muslim to lie. The Quran, chapter 3, verse 28, this verse tells Muslims not to take those outside of the faith as friends unless it is to guard themselves against danger. The Quran, chapter 9, verse 3, Allah and His Messenger are free from liability to the idolaters. They view themselves at war against America and all Westerners, and war is deceit. You have to use a certain amount of deceit, so they will lie. In other words, if a man is a Muslim and he's a jihadi, that's his heart, he wants to kill Americans, he could move into a neighborhood and live there for 25 years and be plotting the whole time
what he's going to do.
What he's going to do while his neighbors think he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah. Wow.
Now this has happened time and time and time again. And you remember, Timotheus, and those of you who have been listening to us now going on 5 years.
5 years.
We talked about the fact that I was in a correspondence, a text correspondence, text message, with a Muslim, and we were talking back and forth about maybe attending services and so forth and so on, and getting to know each other a little bit, until I mentioned this word. I said, what does this word actually mean? Takia. I'm not saying it right. I've already admitted I'm
but you're doing your best.
I'm doing my best. What does it actually mean? T-A-Q-I-Y-Y-A. We might ask our resident Arabic scholar, Tufik Saad, how to pronounce that.
And he may be listening, want to call in real quick.
If he wants to call in real quick, it'd be great. He's got a little over 3 minutes. You know, he handed out his Arabic Bible and showed everybody at our last Unity conference.
Yeah.
And I couldn't read a word of it. But anyway, I was impressed with it. I'm glad that he can. And when I asked this would-be, quote, friend, unquote,
peaceful Muslim,
I would hope,
yeah.
He said, I think it's time we stop talking.
Offended him.
Cut it off completely. You see, most people don't have any knowledge of what we're up against, and so they don't want to talk to somebody who has some knowledge of it, because it sheds light on darkness.
Well, I think the society today looks at a human being, oh, you can't treat them with hate, and you're supposed to love people. But Proverbs tells us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end leads to death.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just because it seems right or feels right sometimes to us doesn't mean that it's always right.
Let's bring this down to the milk and the coconut. What do you say?
Hey, I'm about some coconut.
We're going to die.
We are.
We hope and pray not by a jihadi.
Yeah.
We hope and pray that everybody lives a long life, prosperous life. Your soul prospers. You prosper physically, and you die in good old age. That's what we hope and pray for.
And you go to heaven.
And you go to heaven.
Yeah.
You have a choice to make. I want you to notice the contrast here, Timotheus, between the death of Christ and the death of other philosophers and religionists who have founded some pretty long-lasting religious movements on the earth. Gautama Buddha, called the Enlightened One, while traveling once, ate a large meal of pork and fell violently ill. He died in 483 B.C. at the age of 80. So be careful about those large meals. 5 years later, in 478 B.C., Confucius became ill and lay in a bed for 7 days and died at the age of 72. Neither Buddha nor Confucius believed in God.
Yeah.
400 B.C., the civil war between Sparta and Athens ended. A political reaction followed. And in 399 B.C., Socrates, or as one of Anne's students used to call him, Socrates, at 70 years of age, died a beautiful and pleasant death. He died through the administration of drugs. In other words, he was drugged out of his mind.
Well, A beautiful death.
But I want you to think about Jesus. Those other men, Buddha, Confucius, Socrates, Muhammad, put him right in there too.
Yeah.
They offered no salvation. But Jesus Christ died a death of crucifixion and agony, but he arose from the dead. Those other men, their remains are still in the grave.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is alive today and coming back. Folks, it doesn't take a lot of brilliance to understand who you ought to follow. You ought to follow a man who came out of the grave.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank you today for joining us for another edition of God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ. I'd like to invite you to services 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning for Sunday school. Sunday morning worship service gets underway at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening life groups is at 6 p.m. And then Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.